Thank you very much for the kind introduction and the opportunity to speak with you today about PREEMPT, a vision for intervening in preeclampsia at scale. As Richard said, I'm a professor of medicine and obstetrics and gynecology at UBC, and I have the honor of presenting today on behalf of the principal investigator of PREEMPT, Peter von Dadelson, my husband and partner in really all things in life. And I also have the honor of presenting on behalf of the entire PREEMPT team, many of whom are here today. This is a picture of those of us who were able to make the PREEMPT meeting last year, and so we'll be scooting off to that shortly today. And I must start by thanking our funders, first and foremost, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I have no relevant disclosures to this presentation. So, PREEMPT is a huge project. There are five major objectives: prevention, monitoring, treatment of women with preeclampsia, as well as a global pregnancy collaboratory and knowledge translation endeavors. But in the interest of time, I've been asked to focus on the monitoring and treatment objectives as part of the CLIP trial. So CLIP stands for Community Level Interventions in a Pregnancy Trial. The PI is Peter. This is a cluster randomized control trial that's being conducted in four low and middle income countries: Mozambique, Nigeria, Pakistan, and India. And in order to set the stage for how we came to the CLIP intervention, I think it's important to ask two questions and make one point. So what is preeclampsia and its complications? Can we identify women at increased risk and so target them in particular? And what is the importance of routine surveillance or standardization of care for these women? So classically, preeclampsia has been defined as hypertension arising at or after 20 weeks gestation, as well as significant proteinuria, measured in a variety of ways for which there is no consensus. And this paradigm does not fully recognize the systemic nature of preeclampsia, and all international organizations are moving away from this mandatory inclusion of preeclampsia and moving towards systemic features. And recognizing these systemic features is key to patient safety. And I presented here a number of pictograms that were developed for use in the CLIP trial, and so you'll see them again a little bit later. But really, whether we're talking about the brain, so stroke and eclampsia, or the kidney with proteinuria and acute renal failure, or the lungs, or the placenta itself, it's important to understand that the disease can unfold in different organs at different times, and so we need to be ready. So can we identify women at increased risk and be ready and be preemptive? And the answer to that is yes. And part of that solution is use of the mini-PIRS model, which has been developed into a score. Now, PIRS stands for the Preeclampsia Integrated Estimate of Risk Score. And you think, PIRS, why PIRS? Well, as any good mother, I'm showing you a photograph of the boy. So PIRS is our middle child. And my husband's a New Zealander, so of course he made the slide, and so any photograph of our son is associated with Ma Nanu. I'm not sure how many rugby fans there are here, maybe a few sad ones after Chicago, but that's a picture of Ma Nanu, a very famous All Black. So the mini-PIRS model was developed in Brazil, South Africa, Uganda, Pakistan, and Fiji, because Peter always remembers his roots. And the idea was to see if the full PIRS model, which is a bells and whistles model that includes laboratory testing and ultrasound and can identify women at increased risk in well-resourced settings, whether a scaled-down model that's signs and symptoms-based could predict a combined adverse maternal outcome in under-resourced settings. And this is within 48 hours of admission. So this PIRS adverse maternal outcome was developed by Delphi consensus of international experts, and you can see that it covers maternal death as well as central nervous system function and then cardiovascular function, transfusion and platelets, so hematologic, hepatic, renal, placental. And there's the option of other. So through adjudication, things like ascites could be included. The mini-peers model was developed in women in under-resourced settings who presented with a hypertensive disorder of pregnancy. Internal validation was achieved by bootstrapping, and external validation by looking at 1,300 women from the full peers model whose data were collected using forms that were subsequently used in the mini-peers model, so all the variables were present. And the model performed well with an area under the ROC curve of 0.77. And the model includes the following predictors of adverse outcome: nulliparity, earlier gestational age, three maternal symptoms, so chest pain or dyspnea, headache or visual disturbances. These clustered together, so they were used as one symptom, abdominal pain with bleeding, systolic blood pressure, and dipstick proteinuria didn't improve performance of the model, but it was included for face validity because it's highly predictive of perinatal mortality. Now, this is the fun part, or the particularly fun part, is that the mini-peers model has been developed into a smartphone app. And this is being used as part of the CLIP trial by community healthcare providers. And you can see here the various screens. You can see some of those pictograms to identify urgent conditions, screens that are developed in the local language for entry of demographic information or symptoms, and then also treatment instructions as well, which I'll come back to, but just to show you a few pretty pictures. Now, in addition, through collaboration with Lionsgate Technology, a phone oximeter has been added to the Palm application or Peers on the Move through an AudioAux port. And this improves performance of the model, which I'll show you in a minute. But I just wanted to acknowledge the crowdfunding through the Sensor Project. We have many young creative people in the group. So on the left is the mini-peers model. Here you see the area under the ROC curve, the 0.77 that I showed you. And the high-risk women were defined according to a predicted probability of adverse outcome of 25% or more. And using that, we could identify 60% of women with an adverse outcome. Now, if you add pulse oximetry through the phone to the mini-peers model, you see a similar curve. So the AUC ROC is 0.8. Again, same definition of high-risk group, but now you can pick up 85% of women with adverse outcomes without increasing your false positive rate. And so the mini-peers model has been published this year in PLOS Medicine, and the JOGC paper is coming out. Now, I said that we know in this audience that standardization of management improves outcomes, and that's certainly true in women with preeclampsia. And so I just wanted to put up this slide of maternal deaths from preeclampsia by diagnosis, preeclampsia in red and eclampsia in blue, and all-cause mortality in green, to show you that it's surveillance that's key. So the dramatic decrease in maternal death in the UK over time here has not been related to antihypertensive therapy, which was introduced in the 70s, or magnesium sulfate therapy that came into widespread use in the UK following publication of the eclampsia trial. What it's due to, well, the Scots, you know how the Scots invented so many things, proper antenatal surveillance as well as time delivery. That's produced over 80% of the fall in maternal death in the UK. So what is the CLIP intervention, our community-level intervention? Well, it centers on the woman, although that was impossible to do in making the PowerPoint slide. So the first component is community engagement. There is no word in any of the local languages in which CLIP is being conducted for preeclampsia. So it's helping the community understand what preeclampsia is, understand planning for births in facilities, putting away money for emergency transport or for care. And then community health care provider, abbreviated here, education, how to assess pregnant women for suspected hypertensive disorder of pregnancy. So this is how to measure blood pressure, proteinuria, how to ask questions about signs and symptoms, and then how to use the Peers on the Move tool to put that information together and make a recommendation. The community healthcare providers are assessing women either in their home or in the primary health center. And the palm device here is key. So by entering the information into the palm, the community healthcare provider is given information about risk, and so she or he can triage the patient appropriately and recommend transport. So to address two of the three delay models, either urgent transport to facility within 4 hours, or non-urgent transport within 24 hours, depending on the situation. Now, the POM also advises about any care that should be initiated in the community to, again, to address the third delay, the delay in treatment, and that is either with 750 milligrams of methyl-DOPA for severe hypertension, for example, or 10 milligrams of intramuscular magnesium sulfate. And you saw the little pictogram on the Peers on the Move about how to perform that injection. And then, of course, the ultimate goal is to get the woman to facility in better shape at an earlier point in time. And so facility capacity enhancement is also being undertaken, but importantly, not just in the intervention clusters, but also in the control clusters, so that women receive high-quality, evidence-based care when they get there. Because, of course, our question is whether the community-level intervention will make a difference. And in Mozambique and Pakistan, the pulse oximeter will be added to the Peers on the Move tool, and so that will inform the protocol there. Now, the primary outcome is a composite of maternal and perinatal mortality and morbidity. And each country is powered to detect a 20% decrease in the primary outcome associated with a community-level intervention. I just wanted to point out something that we think is quite important, is that our denominator for maternal death is identified pregnancies, not live births, because we certainly hope that stillbirths will be decreased. And if we use live birth as the denominator, then we might decrease the maternal mortality ratio without having any impact at all on the woman. The other thing that I want to point out is that these are deaths during pregnancy or postpartum, and one or more life-threatening morbidities during pregnancy. They're not just related to the hypertensive disorders, because we feel with recognition and community engagement that we have the potential to have an impact more generally. And finally, there will be about 87,000 pregnant women recruited in the CLIP trial in the four countries, and we're planning an individual patient data meta-analysis, and in that the primary outcome will be maternal mortality and morbidity, so we'll have much greater power. So I just wanted to end with a photograph of ASHA workers from India from our recent visit, and they're holding up their Peers on the Move devices. You can see lots of smiling. They were very positive about the whole experience. One said that she felt like a half doctor, and she said that, and another commented that patients were really enjoying this because they felt that the hospital was coming to them. So I just want to thank you very much for your attention and for allowing us to share our enthusiasm.